sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today, Mike DeRosa joins me on the show to discuss the fantastic international conference we're putting on called Investigate Building 7 on Saturday, March 26th at the University of Hartford. Mike, welcome to the show.
Cheryl, it's a pleasure to be here.
So first, we're going to start by giving you a little background on the Building 7 campaign and why we need a new investigation. And when I say we, I mean we, every American and every citizen in the world, because the consequences of 9/11 have been really widespread and have impacted everybody's life on the planet, for the negative, I would say. So the investigation into 9/11 at all was forced by the victims' family members and the Jersey girls, and who lost their husbands in the towers. And the 9/11 Commission report never mentioned Building 7. So the family members started an organization called NYC Can in an effort to get an independent investigation into 9/11 on the ballot in November of 2009 for the voters to vote on. But it couldn't get through the courts, and they nixed it, even though they had gathered the 80,000 signatures on a petition. So after that effort failed, they turned to the Building What campaign and are focusing on Building 7, because Building 7 was the building that was not hit by a plane. And the Building What campaign came about and was called Building What because in the 9/11 ballot initiative hearings that were done in a court in New York, Justice Edward Lehner was hearing arguments less than a mile from Ground Zero about the ballot initiative to launch a new investigation, when the lawyer for the plaintiff sponsoring the initiative explained that the 9/11 Commission report left many unanswered questions, including, why did Building 7 come down? The judge replied quizzically, "Building what?" Like Judge Lehner, millions of Americans do not know or remember only vaguely that a third tower called World Trade Center Building 7 also collapsed on September 11, 2001. In any other situation, the complete freefall collapse of a 47-story skyscraper would be played over and over on the news. It would be discussed for years to come, and building design codes would be completely rewritten. So why does no one know about Building 7? And why did Building 7 come down? The answers to these questions have far-reaching implications for our society. The goal of the Building What campaign is to raise awareness of Building 7 so that together we can begin to address these questions. So, Mike, why don't you tell us about the seven facts about Building 7?
Well, Cheryl, they are really inconvenient facts, but they are true. For example, if fire caused Building 7 to collapse, it would be the first ever fire-induced collapse of a steel frame high-rise in the history of architecture. And Mr. Gage will be here talking about that. He is a member of the American Institute of Architects. And he will be here to give us a real good insight into how an architect looks at this collapse. Also, Building 7's collapse was not mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report, which you mentioned earlier. And this is really telling because this report was supposed to be a complete view of what happened on that day. But here we had a 47-story building collapse in free fall speed. And again, the commission refused to even mention it in the first report. Now, later down the road, they did come up with an explanation, which most architects and physics majors or physics professors find incredible, if not impossible.
And just for clarification, it was NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, that finally came up with an explanation, and not the 9/11 Commission.
Another interesting fact about Building 7 is, according to the Zogby poll in 2006, 43% of Americans did not know about Building 7. And again, this is the focus of our event on March 26, which is to investigate this building because it is the true anomaly that exists in this whole 9/11 mystery, because Building 7 opens up a lot of doors, because Building 7 was not hit by an airplane. There was debris that came from the two towers that hit it, but this did not affect the structural integrity of the building. And there were only a few small fires, and we know this because of photographs, videos, and most importantly, we know it from eyewitnesses. There are many, many first responders. And, you know, it's well known in courts that what people see is often incorrect. But when you're dealing with first responders, that means firemen or policemen or people in ambulances, they're used to this sort of stuff. And what they see is not what they see. They see what is really happening, because oftentimes in the past they've had to be very specific, very accurate in what they see, because they are first responders. Also, another fact that has been overlooked over the years, it took the federal government 7 years to conduct an investigation and issue a report on Building 7, and there are a lot of people who have real objections to what they're saying here. Now, if you take a look at the pictures that we're going to be showing on March 26th at the Millard Auditorium, and I would recommend people get tickets soon because they're going fast and it's really important. They're only $20 and it's well worth it. But you'll see the building sort of cave a little bit into the center, and then suddenly it starts to fall, and in a matter of 7 to 8 seconds, it's completely destroyed. Now, this looks like a demolition. It looks like something that was planned ahead of time. It looks like the inside of the building was blown out, and then the outer walls caved in a nice little pile, and then they could be taken away. The beams were broken in nice little pieces to fit on trucks, which would then go to China, and the evidence would be essentially taken away, never to be seen again. And the New York Times, not exactly a radical newspaper, in December of 2001, in a very strong editorial, commented about the fact that evidence was taken out of a crime scene and shipped overseas. And very little of this metal was allowed to be examined by independent investigators or by people who really didn't have the government's point of view in view. Also, another fact is 1,400 plus architects and engineers have signed a petition calling for a new investigation that would include a full inquiry into the possible use of explosives for the collapse of Building 7. Numerous witnesses say the possibility of demolishing Building 7 was widely discussed by emergency personnel at the scene and advocated by the builder's owner. And maybe you could tell people about Mr. Silverstein.
Well, Larry Silverstein bought the World Trade Center Tower complex from the Port Authority of New York, who had owned it for the last 30 years since it was built. He bought it in June or July of 2001, had it heavily insured for terrorist attacks. And this is what David Ray Griffin writes about Larry Silverstein in his book, The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Official Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. And so he says, during a PBS program in 2002, while discussing events leading up to the collapse of World Trade Center 7, Silverstein said, I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse. And Griffin goes on to write, at the August 2008 technical briefing, and this is with NIST, 9/11 widow Lori Van Auken asked, did NIST interview Larry Silverstein to find out why he said there was so much loss of life we decided to pull it regarding Building 7? NIST's lead investigator, Shyam Sunder, replied, no, we did not interview Larry Silverstein. Lori Van Auken also asked, many people who were near World Trade Center 7 on 9/11 did hear explosions. Some even heard a countdown on police radio. Did you speak with these people? And Sunder replied, no, we did not speak with those people. So it opens up a whole lot of interesting questions. And the building, as we said, was not hit by a plane. So let me just go on a little bit and tell you a little bit more about the Building What campaign. So the Building What campaign was started with ads. The point of it was to put a lot of ads on TV in New York City. And they did that in November of 2010. They started and they ran it through the end of November. And it aired 350 plus times. And it was seen by over millions of viewers in the New York metropolitan area. And the ad appeared on 13 channels, including some of the major ones, MSNBC, CNN, Comedy Central, CNBC, and Bravo, and several others. And it got them actually an interview. It got Bob McElvain, who lost his son in the towers, and Tony Sambodi, one of the engineers of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, an interview with Geraldo, and also Judge Napolitano then interviewed Geraldo about 9/11. So it was quite interesting. So anyway, they're kicking off their second round of TV ads, and they're actually going to kick it off at this event on March 26th, the new 30-minute ad. So if you want to be part of history, come to the event. It's going to be really exciting to see that happen. And Building What is sponsored by NYC CAN, which is the family members and the first responders and survivors, and by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. So this is going to be a great event. We're going to help them kick off their second phase of the Building What ad, TV ad campaign. And there's going to be a French film crew there filming the event because they're doing a film on 9/11 for the French audience. So this is big. Even though in America you think, you know, it's over, it's not. It's big internationally. So, Mike, maybe you can tell them a little bit about the times of the event, when it starts, when it ends, and what the numbers they can call to get tickets.
Right. The event is called Investigate Building 7, and you can look to get information if you don't jot this down because you're in the car or something. But go to investigatebuilding7.org, investigatebuilding7.org, and you can also call the university box office, and that number is 800-274-8587. So that's 800-274-8587. And this is actually sponsored by WWUH 91.3 FM, specifically the Public Affairs Department and the Building What campaign. And again, that number for tickets is 1-800-274-8587. And I think also, if you look at what you're going to be getting that day, it's from 9:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night. We're going to have a lot of people here, as we mentioned earlier. Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, he's going to be showing overheads. And Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media studies at NYU and the author of the book Fooled Again, How the Right Stole the 2004 Election. I've interviewed him a couple of times in the past. Leslie Griffith, an award-winning journalist in newspaper, radio, and television for 25 years. Craig Unger, you may have heard of him. He is the author of The House of Bush and The House of Sword, and he also wrote a book, The Fall of the House of Bush. And also William Pepper, attorney for James Earl Ray and the King family, and author of An Act of State, The Assassination of Martin Luther King, and many other books. Kevin Ryan, scientist who lost his job at UL for questioning 9/11 evidence that he worked on or simulations that he worked on. And they said, sorry, Kevin, you got the wrong results. You got to get the right results or you're out of here. Graeme McQueen, a Canadian professor of religious studies. For the past 5 years, most of Graeme's research has focused on the events and anomalies of 9/11, victims' family members, Bob McElvain and Manny Badilla, and there will be other people who I'm sure will show up to speak either as part of the program or ad hoc. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to actually see the top people in the United States who are looking at the issue of 9/11. It's a very controversial issue. We are not afraid to deal with controversial issues here at WWUH, because that is our mission, that's our reason for being, and I think if you even have a slightest doubt, or if you are just a person who would like to hear a different point of view, this is really a great opportunity. It's right in your backyard. You can come to this, and you will be informed and dazzled, and quite frankly, some of this stuff is bordering on the fantastic, but quite frankly, it's true, and we have the top-notch people here who have credibility, who have credentials, people who are not fly-by-night, but who are people who know what's going on. So, you know, Cheryl, maybe you can tell them a little bit about some of the other things that we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I wanted to give them a little sense of the day. So we start out in the morning at 9:30, and Mike and I will both be making some opening remarks. And we're actually looking for a celebrity who may be coming. And I can't tell you about that yet because it's not definite yet. And then they'll be doing some speaking. And then it starts out in the morning with a panel of family members, Bob McElvain and Manny Badillo. Bob lost his son in the towers, Manny his uncle, and they've both been very active in Seeking 9/11 Truth and in the Building 7 campaign. They were both in the first 30-minute ad for the Building What campaign. And then we'll have a lunch break. There's a place to have lunch here on campus. And then we're going to have a panel in the afternoon led by attorney William Pepper. And it's going to be presenting the evidence. And Kevin Ryan, who worked for Underwriter Laboratories and lost his job for questioning the official story of 9/11, and who's done a lot of research into it, will be speaking. And he was a chemistry laboratory manager, a scientist. And then at that same panel, we will have Graham McQueen, a Canadian professor who has done a lot of research into 9/11. He did a lot of documentation of the first responders who heard explosions before the buildings collapsed. And we'll also have Tony Zambodi, who is a mechanical engineer, and he'll be talking about the towers also. And that should be a very exciting portion of the program. And then in the afternoon after that, we'll have a panel of journalists. And these are journalists who have not really been involved in 9/11, except for Mark Crispin Miller. And the others have not so much, Craig Unger, Leslie Griffith. And our purpose is to take someone like that who hasn't really been involved and have them hear the evidence and then have them react and share with us why they think the media isn't covering this, because that is really a serious issue that they're not. And then in the evening, which is still a little bit under construction, but we're going to have Richard Gage doing some talking, and then we're going to do a lot of our Q&A will be in the evening. And if we have any other surprise guests, they would talk then also, which we expect to have. So that's the framework of the day. And you really don't want to miss this. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime, and we have people from around the country coming to this because they're so excited that it's happening, and it's really quite big. So don't miss it. Go get your tickets today. The box office is 800-274-8587. And please, I want to really ask you to buy your tickets in advance if you plan on coming, because it helps us plan. And also, if we do get our famous celebrity coming, then you may not get a seat if you wait. So please buy your ticket in advance if you can. A recent addition to the media panel, which we're calling A Failure to Report, is author Dick Russell. And Dick Russell has published 8 books on subjects ranging from natural history to the assassination of President Kennedy. His most recent work is 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, co-authored with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. And I understand that's coming out this April. His previous book, American Conspiracies, also co-authored with Jesse Ventura, spent 7 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list in the spring of 2010. His first book with Mr. Ventura, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, in 2008, was also a bestseller. Russell is also the author of the book On the Trail of the JFK Assassination. He is also a prolific publisher in many of the nation's top magazines and has been a guest on many national TV and radio programs. So, again, he's another reason not to miss this conference. So it's been really exciting planning this March 26th event called Investigate Building 7, a call to reexamine the most important event of our time and to work with the Building What people. It's been really invigorating. And Mike, you were going to talk a little bit maybe about some eyewitnesses to the collapse?
Yes. One of the curious things that happened after 9/11 was that Giuliani refused to allow the eyewitness reports that were being recorded for audio histories. And several people went to court and asked for them under the Freedom of Information. And Bloomberg also refused to give these out. And there were about 550 or so of these recordings of people who were at the Building 7, at the towers. And a lot of people got very curious as to why they were refusing to let these out. And finally, a court required the city of New York to give these out. And some very curious things happened. About 70 to 100 people reported things that were very unusual that happened on that day. For example, Peter DeMarco from the Daily News is quoted as saying, "There was a rumble, The building's top row of windows popped out. Then all of the windows on the 39th floor popped out. Then the 38th floor. Pop, pop, pop was all you heard until the building sunk into a rising cloud of gray. Now, what's important about this, Cheryl, is that this indicates that there were bombs inside the building, or at least there's some evidence that there were some bombs inside the building. And if you watch the people who are running away from the buildings before they collapsed, you can hear many of them saying, there's bombs in the building. There's bombs. There's explosions taking place. There's explosions. Here's another one. Kevin McPadden, emergency medical technician and 9/11 first responder, quote, and at the last few seconds, he took his hand off the radio and you heard 3, 2, 1. And he was just saying, just run for your life. Just run for your life. And then it was like another 2, 3 seconds. You heard explosions like ba-boom. And it's like a distant sound, ba-boom. And you feel a rumble in the ground, like almost you wanted to grab onto something. And to me, I knew that was an explosion. There was no doubt in my mind. So these happened before the collapses. There were also a lot of people who reported flashes around the buildings. This is a classic marker of a collapse that is done through demolition. The idea is to blow out all of the innards of the building so that the outside simply collapses down. Now, this was a very complicated thing for the two towers, and we don't completely understand how this was done. But certainly with Building 7, which is the one that we're going to be concentrating on March 26th, you can see clearly that this is a classic demolition. Why do we say that? We say that because there's a lot of evidence of free fall that's taking place in the Building 7 collapse. And you can just see it. And sometimes the problem is that you don't trust your own eyes. And this is one of the problems that people need to get past. The narrative that's attached to this is not a valid one. So Cheryl and I would recommend highly that you come on March 26th and see for yourself what is going on with these ideas and with these anomalies and with these inconvenient facts and make your own judgment.
Yes, and if you're one of those people who thinks that we're nutty conspiracy theorists, then I want to encourage you to come even more because you can hear the scientists, the lawyers, the researchers who have been working on this for years. You can hear what they have to say and see that they're not wacky people when you really hear them presenting the facts. So I would encourage you to come. And also, when they examined the dust, they found nanothermite in the dust from all of the three World Trade Center buildings that collapsed. And nanothermite is a military-grade explosive, highly explosive material. So how does that get there? You know, all of that stuff needs to be explained, and it was never investigated, and we need a new investigation. And why do we need an investigation? Why do we, all of us, care so much about this? Well, it's because 9/11 has had such a negative impact on our lives. We're into two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We know we went to Iraq on lies, and yet we're still there. We're into Afghanistan, killing lots of people, and now we have drone attacks in Pakistan. You know, we're in Yemen, and it's based on fighting terrorism. And when someone called the FBI office and asked why Osama bin Laden wasn't wanted for 9/11, they responded that they had no solid evidence connecting him to the crime. Now, why isn't the corporate media telling you about that? CNN and Fox News, et cetera. Why don't we know that fact? Well, we don't. So we need a new investigation. And the 9/11 Truth Movement has decided to focus on Building 7 at the moment because it was not hit by a plane. And there's a lot of solid evidence there that contradicts the official story, which, by the way, is also a conspiracy theory of the 19 Middle Eastern men with box cutters. Also at our event is Gary Fox, who has a cable access show in Middletown called 9/11 Illumination, will be here taping the show to share with his audiences. And it's going to be a really great day. Also, we'll have for sale the books by the various speakers. 4 or 5 of our speakers have written books, and we'll be selling those here also for you if you're interested in that. And we'll have David Ray Griffin's book, The Mysterious Collapse of Building 7. So if you've been dying to get your hands on that, we'll have a copy here. So, Mike, why don't you tell the listeners again how to get tickets and if there's anything else you want to share with them about this wonderful, fantastic conference?
Well, again, for our audience, this conference is called Investigate Building 7, and you can get information on investigatebuilding7.org. It's a call to action. It's a case for a new Building 7 investigation. It's a discussion about why media has failed to report this, particularly corporate media. And it's also about you, because if you don't take the time to exercise your First Amendment rights, you're going to lose them. So again, the date and time are March 26, 2011, 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. And the ticket information is you call the university box office, 800-274-8587. That's 800-274-8587. And again, this is co-sponsored by WWUH 91.3 FM, specifically the Public Affairs Department, which Cheryl and I are members of, and the Building What campaign out of New York City and other places. So it's at Millard Auditorium at the University of Hartford, 200 Bloomfield Avenue, West Hartford, Connecticut. And again, the number to get tickets, and they're going fast. So if you want to be part of this, because this is going to be a historical event, and if you want to be part of history and you want to be part of unraveling the mystery of 9/11, call our university box office at 800-274-8587. That's 800-274-8587.
Okay, and let me also mention our website again is investigatebuilding7.org. You can also click on that for tickets through the online purchase through the university box office. And just to go on a little bit about 9/11 and why it's important, you know, we have the Patriot Act, which is based on 9/11. And my understanding is they had it written even before 9/11 happened and then took advantage of that and shoved it through. So the Patriot Act, which really undermines the Constitution and is a threat to all of our civil liberties. We have the whole Homeland Security apparatus, which if you look around, a lot of the towns have now these surveillance cameras all over. A lot of your tax dollars are going into surveillance. We've got the body scanners and the groping at the airports now because of it. And we don't really know what happened that day. I mean, we don't. And if you don't believe me on that, just go do a little research yourself away from the corporate media. Go away from the corporate media and do some research. You can even find stuff in the corporate media that will challenge that. But anyway, check it out. Come to our event. It's a day-long event, 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. You can come for all or part of it. And we hope to see you there. Again, it's going to be at the Millard Auditorium at the University of Hartford on Saturday, March 26th. And to get tickets, call 800-274-8587. And if you do plan on coming, again, I really want to encourage you to get tickets in advance. And I'll end the show today with a quote from David Ray Griffin in his book, The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Official Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. And he says, quote, "The 9/11 truth movement holds that when the official account of the attacks is subjected to critical scrutiny, it can be shown to be false. Many members in the movement believe this falsity to be most obvious in relation to the collapse of Building 7. Hope to see you on March 26th. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.